Hey, hey! April 20th is just around the corner, and we at Bubble Genius want to wish you a happy 420.
Did you know that through the ages, marijuana has been used for medicinal and recreational purposes by stone bones like Queen Victoria, Carl Sagan, and Steve Jobs?
Its earliest recorded use is as early as 3727 BC. It's been used for millennia for everything from the treatment of labor pains to relief from arthritis and skin conditions, not to mention its inspirational and stress-relieving qualities.
So, come celebrate this magnificent plant with us.
With things like our wonderful What Time Is It? Bath Bar. This lovely soap is enhanced with moisturizing hemp oil. No, you won't get a buzz. And it comes in either cannabis or Nag Champa scent. Sure to please any long-haired hippie types you know.
Or, for that moment after 420, try our Room Freshener Formula 421. Available in a variety of scents like lavender or fresh air, and it comes in either a room spray or gel jar. Works great for non-stoners, too.
For the serious weed whacker in your life, check out This Bag Really Tied the Suds Together, our dude-inspired bath collection, including a bowling pin, soap on a rope, Donnie's Ashes bath salts, really, and a bag that resembles a dude drug, man!
Check out a variety of superbly sudsy stuff at bubblegenius.com. Something for every stoner in your life, dirty hippie type, or otherwise.
BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You really want to know what love is?
Yeah.
Yes. Tell us.
More than anything in the world, Ron.
Well, it's really quite simple. It's kind of like, gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Ooh.
Afternoon delight.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I don't know, Ron. That sounds kind of crazy.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, you got mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does.
Man.
Afternoon delight.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
You can read about it tomorrow, or possibly see it tonight. But with radio, you get it now and get it right.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
I saw that. Brick killed a guy. Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, there were horses and a man on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Rick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, March 29th, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show, brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. I'm Bob, that's Chez.
Yes, I take it you are celebrating the fact that Anchorman 2 has been greenlit.
Oh, yes, and we will talk about that when we get to the after party. It was the big announcement on Conan last night.
Either that or you got laid this afternoon.
Because of the song. Right, I gotcha. You know, I was thinking about this thing, listening to the Bubble Genius commercial about 420. I had the most bizarre... I've been having really, really bizarre dreams in the morning, like right before I wake up lately. I had this dream, not this morning, but yesterday morning, where... And mind you, I haven't smoked pot in maybe 10 years. I was in this dream, I was hanging out with Joy's brother, my soon-to-be brother-in-law. And we were in this hotel room, and we were smoking pot in this dream. But the weed itself was not... It was not real weed. It was like this flaky, like crunchy, almost like a like Frosted Flakes cereal.
Salvia.
Yeah, it was some sort of weird crispy version of weed. And I was smoking my weed in like an old-timey Sherlock Holmes pipe. Oh, what the hell?
It's very hipster of you.
What the hell is that all about?
I don't give a crap about weed. And, you know, and the culture of it really makes me crazy. Yeah. Smoking weed for a lot of people isn't just, like, something you do recreationally. It's like there's a whole culture associated with it. It just annoys the piss out of me. It's like, that's why I like pharmaceuticals. Take your pill and shut the hell up.
Well, you know, I just...
Give me my freaking Vicodin and leave me alone.
I've been just wondering why suddenly marijuana legalization is just this huge issue. And then if President Obama doesn't legalize it, we're all doomed. He's betraying the liberal move. I don't understand where that came from. That's suddenly
We already talked about this at one point, I think a couple weeks back, where my take on it is that... The serious, like, hippie types, the serious, like, or the serious pot culturists are the left-wing version of the NRA. They just – that's their one big big pet issue, and it's just hugely important to them. And they've got stickers for it and, you know, freaking T-shirts and all this other ridiculous crap. And it's just as silly as the gun nuts. It really is. It's just from the other side of the political spectrum.
Well, I don't know. Speaking of gun nuts, did you see this story this week? Well, it wasn't really a story. I just posted a link to the thing. The NRA, always with just the right timing, you know, on the heels of Columbine, they get Charlton Heston to stand up there demanding that nobody take the gun from his cold, dead hands or, you know, right after Columbine. Good timing on that one. And then this week, they evidently rolled out a new item of swag in the NRA store. This is real. I'm not making this is not an onion story.
Please tell me it's an NRA hoodie.
It's an NRA hoodie.
Is it really?
It absolutely is. Now, here's the product description.
Priceless.
There's really an NRA store. The National Rifle Association has an online store like the NRA version of Amazon, where you can go and you can buy gun swag. The item they have for sale now is called the Concealed Carry Hooded Sweatshirt. And the the item description goes like this. We want concealed carry to fit around your lifestyle, not the other way around. Like, oh my God, if you want to conceal your weapon, we don't want that to interfere with your fashion choices. So we're going to combine the two.
Sure.
That's why we developed...
Because people who are really, really nuts about guns generally give a crap what they look like.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they're serious fashion plates. I've been to a couple of those gun shows in my lifetime and, seen the types of guys who wear guns are the most important things in their lives. And, yeah, definitely. They're really into, like, John Varvatos and Tom Ford. And, you know, it's always about dressing and looking just impeccable.
What they need to do is come up with a trucker hat, a camouflage trucker hat that has a mullet loop in the back.
Exactly.
Keep your mullet in check. Make sure it doesn't fly all around and get in your face and ears. But that's the description goes, that's why we developed the NRA store exclusive. It's exclusive, by the way. Concealed carry hooded sweatshirt. It's the only garment of its kind we know of! ! Made from pre-shrunk heavyweight 50% cotton, 50% polyester blend, we've taken a standard 9-ounce fleece sweatshirt design and added a full-body polyester lining for added warmth, durability, wind resistance, and weight distribution.
Sure thing. So in other words, the home run of irony, someone wearing this sweatshirt, this hoodie, is actually armed.
That's right.
They've made it so that person is armed.
Yeah.
that's the person you should be shooting at if they're wearing a hoodie, because that's the one who's got a gun.
That's the dangerous hoodie wearer.
That's the dangerous one, the one who's got a hoodie that's made to conceal his freaking weapon.
It's okay to conceal a gun. It's not okay to conceal blackness.
Right.
If you're wearing a hoodie to go along with your blackness, wrong, bad, you're going to get killed. In Florida.
I can't, you know what, if, I really hope that Geraldo, you know, says that everybody starts to, black kids need to start wearing these hoodies.
But if you're concealing a gun inside your hoodie, well, by all means, okay. Enjoy.
There's so many different layers of irony and self-parody and meta there that's like one of those, it's one of those puzzle boxes from Hellraiser that if you figure it out, the Cenobites come up and take you away.
Inside the sweatshirt, you'll find left and right concealment pockets, you know, because they don't want to discriminate against lefties. The included Velcro-backed holster and double mag pouch can be repositioned inside the pockets for optimum draw. I want to remind you, I'm not making this up.
I hate these people. I just hate them. I really do.
Ideal.
I own a gun and I hate these people.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see them come up with a hoodie where I can store my 1862 Springfield rifled musket. Now that would be an awesome hoodie right there.
That would.
Ideal for carrying your favorite compact to mid-size pistol, the NRA Concealed Carry Hooded Sweatshirt gives you an extra tactical edge because its unstructured casual design appears incapable of concealing a heavy firearm, but it does so with ease.
See, but that's the point, and I think we might have touched on it a little bit, but didn't go into too much detail when we were talking about George Zimmerman. Mm. And I think it's the thing that kind of, you know, and all the hoodie talk and everything else has kind of gotten lost is Zimmerman's motives beyond possibly just the immediate sort of racist jumping to a conclusion about Trayvon Martin is that as he's one of these people who, as a gun owner, I get the impression now, you know, obviously we haven't really heard from him, but I get the impression that he's one of those guys who, like, he's always wanted to use that gun.
Yeah.
And listen to what you just read. It gives you a tactical advantage.
That's
you
right.
You are never going to, in under almost any freaking circumstances, need a goddamn tactical advantage. You are just some dumb schlep. You're not a cop. You're not you're not in the military. You're getting up and going to the gas station and going to the grocery store. You're not going to run into the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
You know, at any point. And you're not going to happen upon a bank robbery that you can foil unless you go looking for one. And that's the point. You know, you're never going to need that freaking tactical advantage. That's ridiculous. That's stupid thinking. And anybody who thinks that way, anybody who thinks I'm going to need me a tactical advantage at some point, that person is so paranoid and so crazy and so desperate to use that weapon, he is the last person who should ever have that gun.
Right.
The absolute last person who should own a weapon is somebody who really wants to use it.
Yeah, it's really scary. It's really scary.
Somebody who goes looking for a reason to use that gun.
Yeah, I mean, the temptation has got to be there. I mean, it's just, you gotta, you know, it's like the history eraser button in that Ren and Stimpy episode. It's there. You don't touch that button. You'll erase right. history. And Stimpy is so tempted that he actually ends up totally leaning on the button and hammering it down, erasing history.
It's a way to sort of supplement their manhood. You know, I mean, that to them is having that gun is it sort of defines who they are as a man.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Once again, that's the last person you want having a weapon, having access to a weapon is someone who thinks like that. Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't have a handgun or a shotgun or a rifle for either hunting or home protection, you know, genuinely like, hey, look, you know, it's better to have a gun and not need one. That whole thing.
Yeah.
It's not somebody who thinks that way. It's somebody who genuinely thinks that there's going to come a time when they're somebody who's so paranoid that they're absolutely going to need it, and that gun is an extension of who they are as a man.
Yeah,
and that person is batshit lunatic, and you don't want that person having a weapon.
Can you imagine the NRA fashion show where they wheel out the concealed carry hooded sweatshirt? you know, there's a runway and then just a bunch of guys named Jessup and Clem modeling the various items of swag from and Cletus from the NRA store. Like, you know, it'd be sort of like a... And here we see Jessup. Jessup sporting the NRA concealed carry hooded sweatshirt. Gives you an extra tactical edge because its unstructured casual design appears incapable of concealing a heavy firearm.
But it does.
But it does. So, with great ease. Includes drawstring hood, cotton spandex ribbed cuffs and waistband, two front pouch pockets, and a discreet back zipper. Includes one Velcro holster and one Velcro mag pouch. Colors black and navy.
Get her done.
Get her done. Made in the USA. Oh, God. It's really, that whole culture, I've never been able to figure it out. I mean,
they have a special hoodie that the NRA made for a black youth that has a big target on it.
God. You know, and comes in
black sizes too. Got a big target on it.
Yeah, and you know, I think I've told this story before, but I always remember this morning show DJ that I used to work with at this radio station in Pennsylvania. And this guy used to carry around a concealed firearm inside of a fanny pack. He used to do his wacky morning zoo morning show, carrying a fully armed gun inside the fanny pack.
Right. You know, my dad has that. My dad has one of the little sort of fanny pack thing. He doesn't wear it, thank God. But, you know, he carries it sometimes. And he's got a little, you know, compact in there. But once again, my dad is ex-cop. My dad is, you know, head of security at a hotel and resort in Fort Lauderdale. So, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. You know, for him, I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. I've always gotten it. But yeah, just the average, you know, just the average doof.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who works at you know, the freaking car parts store, who somehow feels that, you know, and by the way, I think I mentioned this before at one point, they really do think that way. You know, before I came out to California, I went shooting, and the guy behind the counter, who seemed completely normal, was just this paranoid whack job who went off about how, you know, make sure you've got that with you, because you never know when, you know, especially if you're in LA, you never know when you know, the riots are going to start again. And he was serious. Like, for a second, I looked at him and I'm just like, you're really worried about riots. I mean, that's something, that's an actual fear that you have, that at some point the Negroes are going to get, you know, the brown people are going to get out of control and uppity and start burning things, and they're going to come for you, and you got to be ready to defend yourself. Yeah. I mean, that really is a genuine, like, fear. Like a concern that you have when you wake up in the morning. Yeah. And I thought to myself, it's gotta be difficult to go through life being that paranoid, that terrified of your own shadow, that at any point, you know, once, like I said, the zombie apocalypse starts, at any point, anything can happen and you're going to need to, you know, that survivalist mentality. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, sometimes a gun is just a gun, but you know what else? Sometimes it's a penis. We got to take a quick break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Saw them live a couple weeks ago.
Did they play Locomotive?
No, they didn't. Great song.
It's such a badass song. Really,
yeah,
is.
They played for a while, though. I saw them at the Palladium. They played, you know, they played a good 2.5 hours. And, you know, look, Guns N' Roses now is basically just Axl Rose and the world's best-sounding GNR cover band, you know? But really, I mean, and they sounded terrific. They sounded fantastic. But it's just, at one point, I think I counted 9 people on stage.
And what was disappointing to me is when I found out through you that there's no Buckethead. I like the idea of a Buckethead.
No, I know. What's his name? Fortis is playing guitar for him now. He used to play with Love Spit Love, which was Butler's band after Psychedelic Furs. And I know that. I mean, Tommy Stinson obviously is the big name in the band because he's, you know, bassist and used to be bassist for the Replacements.
Yeah.
So see, and the cool thing is that I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, because by that time I was, you know, 9 or 10 beers into the show, Axl actually let Tommy do one of his songs, which is really cool. Basically just walked off stage and like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Eugene Stinson.
Yeah.
So great.
Those first three GNR albums were unbelievable. Appetite for Destruction. And then both of the Use Your Illusion albums, which I love those more, actually, I think, than the Appetite album.
They were really good. I mean, everything sort of went off the rails after that. I mean, actually, no, everything went off the rails during that sort of tour.
Oh, yeah.
When it turned into so many people and, you know, the traveling circus.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of set the stage for everything that Axl's done since. But, I mean, no, for sheer smack you in the face and making rock and roll dangerous again, nothing tops Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, yeah.
But the Use Your Illusion records were really, really good. You know, there's a lot of really good material on them.
Yeah, I find the songs on the Use Your Illusion album just much better as works. I mean, you know, my favorite song on Appetite for Destruction is Paradise City. And it seems like Use Your Illusion...
No, Rocket Queen is my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. Use Your Illusion seems to... both of those Use Your Illusion Part 1 and 2 albums sort of have more of that, I don't know, more creative vibe that you get with, like,
They did, and the funny thing is about Use Your Illusion...
Interesting songwriting.
Even though they were so... Both of those albums were so, so self-indulgent. Actually, I give a lot of credit because my two favorite songs on those records are probably the most self-indulgent ones. Coma and Estranged are my two favorite songs off those
not
records.
November Rain, that's not self-indulgent?
November Rain is incredibly self-indulgent. For some reason, that like never really resonated with me. But first of all, the guitar line that even Axl on the liner notes thanks Slash for, that amazing guitar line in Estranged, which is all Slash and just brilliant. And of course, Coma, because I think Coma is just a badass song.
Yeah. So, you know, on the NRA swag note, I just wanted to add that if I were to conceal carry a firearm, I would want one of those, you know, kind of Law and Order... I don't know what you call them, like an armpit sling.
Yeah.
Like with the
shoulder holster.
Yeah, the shoulder holster. I mean, those are really badass. I mean, if you're buying a hoodie to conceal carry a couple of guns inside your fleece hoodie, I think they should just take your gun away at that point.
Right.
Sorry. But I don't know if you saw this this news that came down just before the show, in fact. But I wrote a thing for the Huffington Post about the sort of right-wing attacks against children, mainly, and most recently, Trayvon Martin, in lieu of wanting to take on anyone who can debunk all of their horse crap. They just they go after children, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or
I didn't get a chance to read your piece yet, but I saw you link to it and I saw you put it up at your site. I've been running around all day, so.
Well, here's an item from Gawker that came down just before we started the show. The headline is "White Supremacist Hacks Trayvon Martin's Email Account, Leaks Messages Online."
Wow.
Racist smear campaign against Trayvon Martin, the unarmed black teen shot to death last month in Florida, has reached a new level of ghoulishness. A white supremacist hacker says he's broken into Martin's email and social networking accounts and leaked his private Facebook messages. We've been able to confirm, this is Gawker, that at least one email account that belonged to Martin was cracked. The hacker, who goes by the name Clan Clannon, which sounds like a sounds like a Will Ferrell made up names. Hey, everybody, that's like the Ku Klux Klan weather guy. Hey, I'm Clan Clannon. We got partly cloudy, partly sunny outside today. Chance of thunder boomers this afternoon.
That's right.
Clan Clannon.
It's never going to be dark again. No darkness.
Clan Clannon posted what he said were Martin's private Facebook messages to the politics section of the anarchic message board 4chan called
4chan.
Yeah. 4chan called POL. Tuesday afternoon.
4chan around. are the little the internet geniuses who basically came up basically the sort of that's where the anonymous folks met.
Oh, okay. So this is not helping the anonymous cause then.
Well, no, I mean 4chan calling it anarchic is a pretty good word.
Yeah
it is. It's basically just a clearinghouse. You know, everybody gets on there.
The message-
and that's where a lot of internet memes start.
The messages were posted on 4 slides, strategically arranged to back up the insane racist argument that Trayvon was a scary black teenager and so somehow deserved to be killed by neighborhood watch captain George Zimmerman that night. A slide titled, "Trayvon Martin Used Marijuana Habitually," featured an exchange between Trayvon and a friend about getting high. Another slide, Trayvon Martin was a drug dealer features Facebook messages and photos that supposedly prove Martin dealt drugs, including a picture of Martin posing, quote, aggressively with a large amount of cash in his hand. It's impossible to verify the hacked messages' authenticity. Like other anti-Trayvon Martin propaganda, they're probably a mix of real and fake content, but they're now being passed around the racist underbelly of the internet on message boards like the neo-Nazi hive Stormfront, which Klan Klanin, everybody. Hey, it's Klan Klanin in the morning. Hey, here's Ace of Base. You know, that's a bad, bad. That's like the racist DJ. That's the racist morning zoo DJ, Klan Klanin. But, you know, it's not solely the purview of the extreme white supremacist right. We're talking about this is happening everywhere in the right-wing media. I mean, it's happening all over talk radio. Fox News Channel is getting on it. I see Rush Limbaugh trying to Rush Limbaugh and our favorite CNN commentator, Dana Loesch.
Still think she's hot.
I still don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Don't care. Don't care one bit. Still think she's hot.
They're trying to somehow make this weird connection between Trayvon, the Black Panthers, and President Obama.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, it's just, it goes on and on and on. They love to attack little children. And it goes back to, you know, John McCain and Rush Limbaugh cracking Chelsea Clinton jokes. Or, you know, we played the audio here, the most annoying sounds in the world, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh imitating Malia, like mocking Malia Obama. You know, there was Graham Frost. There was, with healthcare in the news this week with the Supreme Court thing called to mind when the president signed the ACA. He had that kid whose mother died from lack of insurance, Marcellus Owens, at the signing ceremony. Then they shamelessly went after that kid. They went after that kid who appeared in the S-Chip commercial. They went after a kid who asked President Obama a question at a town hall meeting during the healthcare debate. I mean, it goes on and on and on. What is it with these people and attacking kids? And the only thing I come up with is as an answer.
They're
bullies, right?
They're bullies. That's all they're. That's all they've ever been. I mean, at least, you know, at least recently, you know, in the past couple of certainly in the past few years, but within the past at least decade or so, they're bullies. If they don't get their way, they just beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, I think it's because of their positions are so thin and so poorly sourced and disconnected with reality that the only way they can win an argument most of the time is to attack, you know, accost a high school principal in the parking lot as she's walking to her car at the end of a long day of dealing with high school kids.
But it's also, it comes from that sort of entitlement and the resentment combined with entitlement. You know, that's because that's the way a bully thinks, you know, that sort of, some sort of higher power has bequeathed him his authority and he gets to pick on everybody else.
I'm just temporarily distracted here because I'm looking over at MSNBC. And there was this videotape of George Zimmerman that came out yesterday.
Yeah, I saw, once again, I've been running around all day. I saw that on your site and just haven't taken a look.
Let's talk about that right after a quick break, back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Buzz Burbank, the official announcer of the show. And we're brought to you, as always, by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn soap in the world, especially my favorite hibiscus soap. Make sure to go to BubbleGenius.com and pick up. And it's literally called Bob's Favorite Hibiscus Soap. So you want to pick that up and scrub your hands with my favorite soap because it's invariably sweet smelling.
Made of Bob himself.
Made of essence of me.
Don't even ask what kind of essence.
It's got real life bits of me inside of it, and that's what makes it good.
If only it were a cream soap.
I just sort of semi-quoted Anchorman again. It's got real bits of Panther. It's what makes it good. Here now is the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Hey, hey! April 20th is just around the corner, and we at Bubble Genius want to wish you a happy 420.
Did you know that through the ages, marijuana has been used for medicinal and recreational purposes by stone bones like Queen Victoria, Carl Sagan, and Steve Jobs?
Its earliest recorded use is as early as 3727 BC. It's been used for millennia for everything from the treatment of labor pains to relief from arthritis and skin conditions, not to mention its inspirational and stress-relieving qualities.
So, come celebrate this magnificent plant with us.
With things like our wonderful What Time Is It? Bath Bar. This lovely soap is enhanced with moisturizing hemp oil. No, you won't get a buzz. And it comes in either cannabis or Nag Champa scent. Sure to please any long-haired hippie types you know.
Or, for that moment after 420, try our Room Freshener Formula 421. Available in a variety of scents like lavender or fresh air. And it comes in either a room spray or gel jar. Works great for non-stoners, too.
For the serious weed whacker in your life, check out This Bag Really Tied the Suds Together, our dude-inspired bath collection, including a bowling pin, soap on a rope, Donnie's Ashes bath salts, really, and a bag that resembles a dude rug, man!
Check out a variety of superbly sudsy stuff at bubblegenius.com. Something for every stoner in your life, dirty hippie type, or otherwise.
Bubblegenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
But do they have a soap in which you can hide your gun? Make sure to enter your promo code Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, for 15% off your entire order, your entire marijuana soap order from bubblegenius.com. I was saying before the break, MSNBC, Al Sharpton's on right now, and they're going over this George Zimmerman video, like the Zapruder footage. I mean, they're literally freeze framing it and pointing to different areas of his head, like blurry, weird shadows, and wondering if that's an injury or. And it's, well, clearly, I mean, if you look at the video of George Zimmerman that came out yesterday. I mean, it doesn't show a man who was attacked. I mean, the claim is that he was punched in the nose, broke his nose, and his face was bashed against the curb. Well, if you look at this video, I don't know. And I made a cursory viewing of it because I posted it on the blog this morning. And even the full-length video goes further towards completely disproving the Zimmerman claim that Trayvon Martin attacked him and broke his nose.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to comment on it.
Well, it's just, you know, he gets out of the car. It's like an isometric view. Gets out of the car, walks below the camera. Then you see him walking down the hall, you know. And, you know, his face is in clear view. And he's, unless he receives some really badass medical attention, you know, he's clearly not injured.
Hmm.
So you know, probably my hunch is that was released to kind of quell this any tension that might arise by the fact that they were claiming that Trayvon Martin attacked the guy, therefore justifying the shooting. And I just don't think it happened. Meanwhile, as I mentioned before, the Supreme Court is hearing arguments. Well, this week they've been hearing arguments about the healthcare reform law, and God, unbelievable stupidity. I mean, there are nine Supreme Court justices, all right, and they're going to decide whether or not 30 million people will receive healthcare. Now, this is the way our system works. This is the way it's always been set up. You know, after I guess it was Marbury versus Madison, they had judicial review of laws, and since then, you know, the Supreme Court. I'm not arguing with the idea that the Supreme Court can determine whether or not a law is constitutional. But come on, guys, be a little informed for Christ's sake. I mean, first of all, Sam Alito, who's the George W. Bush appointee to the Supreme Court, had no idea what it meant to have, you know, health insurance, why people should have health insurance. I don't know if you saw this, Chez. It was a Q&A about having health insurance and how it works. And Justice Ginsburg had to correct the guy because
I did see that.
Says Alito flipped the table, saying that the mandate will require young, healthy people to pay more per year for insurance than they would pay for health care out of pocket. thus forcing them to, quote, subsidize services that will be received by someone else. The entire point of health insurance is you pay into a pool, and then when you need it in case of an emergency, and that's the real, that's the point of having health insurance. If you get seriously ill, like if you get cancer, or if you're hit by a car, and the cost of health care then skyrockets, you know, for serious injuries or diseases like that, that's when you need health insurance to cover those exorbitant costs. So you pay into a pool. Sometimes you don't need it. You can go years without any sort of serious injury or disease. So other people use that money. But then when you need it, it's there. You have it.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, it's not just, oh, I'm going to get health insurance so I don't have to pay the, you know, the $90 to go see the, you know, the family doctor for a checkup.
All of this haggling back and forth is pretty much, I think you mentioned this, the perfect time to revisit the idea of a single payer system.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I mean,
it's time to revisit the idea of a public option, because that's the easiest way to take the argument that, well, you know what, you can't force me to get something that's private. That's a fantastic way to take that off the table.
And meanwhile, Scalia thought that the Cornhusker kickback was still in the bill.
He's
hearing arguments to determine the future of this law in which 30 million Americans will be able to afford health insurance and health care. He hasn't even read the damn law, Justice Scalia.
Scalia's a douche.
By the way, I did notice that the two apparent idiots on the Supreme Court are both the Italians. and it, that's not lost on me, coming from a couple of guys who are, you know, Italian.
Yeah, that would be us.
Yeah.
Well, of course they don't know anything. They don't know anything, and they're disorganized.
That's right. And they, you know, they're more focused on their hand gestures than reading the law. They want to make sure they got their.
I want to trust the Italians. I want to trust the Italians to decide on crap for millions of people.
One last quick break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
And we're back. Love this song. This is my new favorite song.
What is it? I don't even... it's breaking up over there.
It's a band called Lowline.
Oh, yeah, I know who they are.
And the song is Disco Killers. Just love it. Love it, love it,
yeah,
love it.
It sounds like Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Yeah. I mean,
who are one of my favorite bands, who are probably my favorite band.
It just got an energy to it. I've just been playing this on loop. I posted it on the blog the other day, or maybe it was today. I don't remember. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, much less what song I posted. But it's a great, great song. If you want to check it out, go to the blog and scroll down to whatever the Morning Awesome was. There's no video for it. I mean, I loved it so much. I couldn't find a video. Don't you hate that when you think of a really great song to post and they haven't made a video for it, so you just got to post the static image?
What I do is I just change the size of the box and just post the bar.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's just basically like an audio file.
See, I'm too OCD. I've got to post it at the exact same frame size every time, irrespective of what the actual imagery is.
Yeah, you are OCD. That's pretty crazy.
It's all got to line up, you know.
I see. Thank God.
So there was going to do a little bit of stupid news right now. From the world of politics,
as opposed to everything else we do.
Well, first of all, I should note that there's a poll that just came out, and I'm bringing up here. It's just released on Think Progress today. More conservatives than ever distrust science.
Of course they do.
All right. Back in 1975 ish. All right. 48%, the same percentage as liberals, trusted science. 48% of conservatives trusted science. And it was just split. Basically 50-50 with liberals in terms of trust of science. now, today, the most recently, in terms of the latest study, 35% of self-identified conservatives said they had a great deal of trust in science at this point in time. So it's gone down from 50% to 35%.
How do you distrust? Trust implies that there's something there to have a certain amount of faith in. You know, that.
Yeah,
science is science. Science is proven. Science is evidence. It's provable fact. It's like saying, you know, I don't believe in trees.
Right. I think what they're saying is I think more and more conservatives are believing that science is trying to trick them. Like,
right.
Scientists are out to fool them. So
yeah,
they're
those wily scientists.
They're raising incredulous eyes to anything they read that has to do with science.
And yet they'll believe that 2,000 years ago, some guy got nailed on a cross and rose from the dead 3 days later.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, did you see the story? I'm not entirely prepared to deliver any actual news about this, but there was an item on the Huffington Post about the Shroud of Turin and a new book, I believe, notes that maybe it was the shroud that the apostles were seeing when they thought Jesus rose from the dead. Like, at that period of human development, the idea of imagery took on almost lifelike form. Like, I mean, can you imagine centuries before there was anything even closely resembling photography, seeing a photographic image on a cloth? I mean, wouldn't it almost be like someone in like 1920 going to a 3D IMAX movie and wondering if it was all real?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's something I don't spend 1 second of my time thinking about that nonsense.
You don't sit and, ponder the shroud?
Aside from discounting it completely. Yeah. I do not care. I don't care one bit.
I like the idea of going back and trying to determine how ancient humans think and how they interpreted events that we now regard as being scientific or mythological or whatever. And the idea that they thought that the risen Jesus, or they thought this image of Jesus on a cloth, which it may or may not have been Jesus, in fact, it's most likely a hoax, the shroud. But if it was real and the apostles had seen it, did they actually think, oh my God, that's Jesus standing in front of us? I don't know. It seems a little wacky.
You'll never get an answer to that, yeah. Obviously.
Well, you know, of course, it goes without saying.
How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
Well, yeah, and of course, the Shroud books, all the books about the Shroud kind of rival all of the books about the JFK conspiracy, you know. Sure. So, you know, you've got to wonder and question whether the authenticity and scientific backing of some of these things. But, I thought it was an interesting idea. Anyway,
that's a fun little theory to go with the rest of the fairy tale.
Only 35% of conservatives trust science right now. Unbelievable.
Excellent.
And so this, you know, it kind of backs up a quote that I saw from a town hall blogger earlier this week. It says, this guy David Hoyt writes for townhall.com, which is the far right blog, you know. An international carbon tax program is one of the most hideous ideas forged in the minds of men. So that's such a poser line. It really, really is.
Yeah.
Hacky poser line. Forged in the minds of men. He's writing a movie trailer, right? It's like a Liam Neeson line from Wrath of the Titans.
Right. Yeah. It's a Cecil B. DeMille Ten Commandments line.
Since all known life forms are carbon-based, it is a proposal to control all life. So this guy is saying a carbon tax program is going to control people because people are made of carbon.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that they don't believe in science, and yet listening to them attempt to sort of pontificate on it is hilarious to me. Like every time James Inhofe opens his, you know, big stupid mouth and talks about global warming, I'm like, you're an idiot. You know nothing about anything. You're a moron. You don't believe in science. Why should I care one bit what you have to say about anything?
Well,
you know, I mean, who am I going to trust? scientists, people with actual degrees, people who actually went to school, people who spent their entire lives studying and learning, or your stupid ass?
And if the conservatives on the Supreme Court, the two most conservative people on the Supreme Court, didn't even bother to read the law that they're hearing arguments about, to know that there was no Cornhusker kickback, and that insurance is there to provide basically expensive emergency care for people who need it, right? They don't know that. They don't understand those basic concepts. How the hell in the world can we expect them to understand billions of years of evolution and human life and animal life and the development of the planet Earth and the scope of the universe? You know, no wonder.
Right.
No wonder. But going along with our stupid theme, Sarah Palin tweeted the other day. It just caught my eye. Because this is not so much an attack on Sarah Palin as much as it is an attack on conservatives who have no effing clue about the origin and evolution of political parties in America. And they don't even understand basic American history. Much less the complexities of healthcare, much less the super complexities of science. Okay, so Sarah Palin on her Twitter feed posted three words. The three words were, my. And I can just kind of hear the tone of voice. So I'm imagining the tone of voice and then repeating it here. It was just my, but I'm hearing it as my. Just like this oozing with snark and smarm.
Yeah.
And she included after the my.
Smug pain in the ass.
A link to this. She included a link to this fringy right-wing conspiracy blog that tries to pin all of the world's atrocities on liberals. For example, this conspiracy blog, and this is the link. I mean, Sarah Palin linked directly to this, which is basically an endorsement of the ideas contained therein. Here's one of the things this post said about liberals and all the atrocities they've committed. In America, the leftists beneath the hoods of the Ku Klux Klan lynched terrified blacks at night while running America's Democratic Party by day.
I love it when they do that.
The leftists. I'm going to come back
projection.
To that.
Absolute projection.
It totally is. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. In the 1930s, the newly powerful National Socialists of Germany, a.k.a. the Nazis, began sending stormtroopers to terrify Jews by painting crude yellow signs reading "Not for Aryans" on the windows of Jewish shopkeepers. Eventually, Jews were forced to wear a yellow patch in the shape of a Star of David bearing a single word, Juden, or Jew. All right, now look, just because the word socialists is in the name of that political party in Germany, also known as the Nazis, doesn't mean they were actual socialists. Likewise, the word dogs in the phrase hot dogs doesn't mean they're actual dogs in hot dogs.
Right.
It's just a name.
Right. The Democratic People's Republic of whatever is generally not democratic.
Yeah. Or in any way, shape, or form, run by the people.
Run by the people. Yeah.
Hot dogs do not contain dogs, you effing morons. I'm ambivalent about this. I don't know if they're being deliberately stupid or if they really are just this dumb about America.
No, they really are that dumb.
It's unbelievable. Now, going back to the Ku Klux Klan and the Southern Democrats, they were Democrats in name only. They were Democrats because Lincoln, their arch nemesis, the guy who defeated them, the party that defeated them in the Civil War, was the Republican Party. So they, by default, became Democrats because that was the party of, at the time, states' rights. How does that familiar? Idiots. States' rights. That's the cornerstone of American conservative ideology. States' rights. State sovereignty.
Let us do whatever we want.
It's unbelievable. So, I mean, what we have observed over the course of American history are the development of political parties and extraordinary shifts in ideology and platforms of those parties. So the Democrats of 1865 bear little resemblance, zero resemblance to the Democrats of 2012. Sorry. There's just no correlation between the two. And unless you're going to make the claim that liberals of 2012 are really, really into states' rights. I mean, Lincoln and the Republican Party of 1860 were all about big government. I mean, for God's sake, he raised an army to attack the people who wanted states' rights.
Well, these people are constantly looking backwards. That's why they, you know, even in name, that's why they dislike progressives. Progressives, you know, technically, the very name says it. You progress, you look forward. And these people are constantly, you know, the South will rise again. Things were better way back when, the founding fathers, all of that crap. That's the way that they think. So, of course, they glom on to this idea that, the parties haven't changed in 150 years. The way the parties, the members of the parties think hasn't changed. It's such nonsense.
Yeah, and over time, people just voted Democratic in the South, even in within our lifetimes, Chez. I mean, people in the South were still voting Democratic, but just out of tradition.
Right.
The followers...
No, it absolutely does.
The followers are easily led automatons, and so we can feed them any line of horse crap that fits our agenda. So we just play to this audience. We pander to this audience by saying stupid things that reinforces their stupid ideas.
Right. Well, you know, George Bush was the perfect example of that. You know, he really was. You know, and come to think of it, you know, as are really most of the sort of Republican leaders now. Yeah, they pander to the stupid crowd, but, you know, George Bush went to Yale.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not, he may be a doof, but he's not a he's not really, you know, galactically stupid. And, you know, and guys like Newt Gingrich, of course, aren't. Rush Limbaugh is not. And yet, you know, they know how to pander to these people. They know how to get them riled up.
You know, Michelle Bachmann, she's got a law degree. I mean, she went to law school. Michelle Bachmann passed the bar exam.
Yep.
She's not an idiot. But she, I think she says stupid things to pander to people who vote for her, who do happen to have very simplistic views of the world. I think
she does actually have very simplistic views of the world. I don't think she's stupid at all. I mean, I think that wasn't that, this was like one of the mailbag questions over at Banter that we had. Was it last week? Where it's, you know, rate the dumbest of the Republicans. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, none of them are dumb. They are insane. They're varying degrees of crazy. But, you know, crazy or awkward or just, you know, the clown car, but certainly not stupid.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's tough to tell sometimes because, and again, there's a continuum here. Like, I think Sarah Palin is greatly uninformed. I think she's a clever politician and a clever celebrity.
She's a political celebrity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I think she's intellectually incurious. I don't think she really cares to know exactly what's going on. I think she cares more about saying the opposite of what liberals are saying.
Exactly what it is. And she's not just incurious. I mean, she demonizes education. She demonizes intellectualism. She's one of those types.
Right, right, and it works for them. I mean, this is how they're making their bones these days. And
right, and that's why people distrust science, because their leaders are saying you can't trust them. You know, they're pandering to them. Like you said, it creates a feedback loop.
You know, it's funny too how they kind of rallied around Newt Gingrich there for a while. They were kind of trying to justify, suddenly Newt Gingrich would be this smart guy Republican. Yeah, this. Like the Republican version of a teacher in chief, you know, he could talk about history and speak about things. But Newt Gingrich, I don't think Newt Gingrich is extraordinarily smart either. I don't think he's an idiot, again. But I, you know, it's funny how they kind of elevated a guy who could string together a couple of sentences without choking on his own tongue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That says everything you need to know about the Republican Party. Newt Gingrich is considered an intellectual.
And yet at the same time, they, and we'll hear more of this from Romney as he locks up the nomination and starts running in the general against the president, he said, you know, being a a teacher of the Constitution, teaching constitutional law, is somehow a bad thing. You know? So, I mean, there's a case where Mitt Romney is just pandering to idiots who have disdain for people who are educated. Yep. You know, but strangely enough, educated about things that are really, really, really important to know if you're going to be the president of the United States, who takes an oath, by the way, to protect the Constitution. You know, in my Huffington Post thing yesterday, I got this comment, someone saying that all of my examples didn't prove my thesis being that Republicans are bullies. Right. I listed maybe two dozen examples of Republicans being bullies. It's like, did you even read that?
Yeah, just don't. Trust me, I'm very familiar with that.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely, and we'll see you on the After Party on Friday. After Party premieres Friday. Take care, Chess.
Later.